Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome you on tonight. Thank you for joining us. I am excited. I am excited about God. I am excited about the things that God is doing in this time, in this season. And I tell you, he is calling us to the core. He's saying to us, do you really trust me? Do you really believe in me? When things get rough, And when things don't turn out the way you think they should, will you still trust me? I think there was a song that was written by a famous gospel singer, Donnie McClurkin. And the song is, Will You Trust Me? And basically it's saying that when things in life go wrong, when you lose a loved one, when the job you thought you wanted, you didn't get, when your marriage fell or your children go wayward, will you trust me? See, it's easy for us in good times to spew out cute cliches and nice Bible verses. It's easy in good times for us to praise the Lord. But are we going to still praise him in the rough times? Are we going to stand on those cute scriptures? Do those cliches, is it really a cliche, or do we really mean what we say? See, we've learned over the years how to be on point. We've learned how to say hallelujah at just the right time. We learned how to say praise the Lord at just the right time. When to clap, when to shout, when to pray. We've learned how to do that. And God is saying, can we still do that? Is it in the core of us? Is it a part of our DNA? Or is it just something that we rememberize to hit the right key on? I say that on tonight because the show is going to go in a little different direction. And I am trusting God completely to do what it is that he has purpose to do on tonight. See, I have to be a believer of what I say too. I have to stand on what I say. Every week I get on this show and I speak to you, the listening audience. And my words are those for some to encourage and for others to empower and for others to educate. But guess what? The same word that I'm ministering to you, the same word that I speak to you is the same word I have to live. And if I'm telling you to trust God, then I have to be able to trust him too. If I'm telling you you can't be double-minded, then I must not be double-minded too. And this is the season where God is calling. He's separating the wheat from the tear. He's saying, who are my children? Who are my children? And he knows his children because he says his children follow him. They know his voice, and another they will not follow. He says, my children, you could tell because they follow my command. My children look like me. So the question is on tonight, do we really look like God? When we go out into the world, do people just see other people, just more people? Or do people see something about you that's different? Is there something that shines brightly on the outside of you that illuminates from the inside of you? When people see you and when they hear your conversation, is it that of the world or is your conversation different? Who are we? That's what tonight's show is going to be about. And I know many of you probably signed in on tonight and you were going to get, it was a guest tonight, and glory to God, because God, I'm trusting God that there's a reason and a purpose for tonight. And why things didn't go according to plan, but how many of us know that sometimes our plans is not God's plans, amen? And we got to learn how to trust him when we don't understand what his plan is. We got to learn how to trust him, amen? And so tonight I'm trusting God, and I'm trusting that God had another plan for his people, that he had a word for his people that he wanted us to hear on tonight. And so this was the perfect, he set the perfect scene. This was a setup. He set the perfect scene because according to plan, we were going to have a guest and this show was going to be about something totally different. Oh, but God had another plan. And I had to walk out this plan. The thing that he's bringing to you tonight through me, I had to walk through it. And it was, will you trust me? Or will you trip? Let me repeat that. Will you trust me or will you trip? We've seen a lot of tripping going on in the world recently. And I always bring this up lately because it's a heavy burden on my heart. and I see what's going on, and where people are in fear. And when people are in fear, they react. They become reactive instead of proactive. They're in fear. They don't know what's going on in the world. They don't know what, you know, we had the elections, and many people, you know, are party affiliated. You know, you have Republicans and you have the Democrats, and you know, I voted this way and it didn't go this way, and it went this way, and I'm not happy that it went this way because I don't believe in the way that it went. And so, like any team, when your team lose, you become kind of sore. We all been sore losers. We all have. We all had sports teams or other teams that we believed in and we betted on and we spoke highly on, and then they didn't win. And we want to find reasons why they didn't win. We don't want to accept the fact that maybe they just were not prepared. Maybe they didn't plan. Maybe they didn't have a plan, no commitment to the plan. Maybe they lost focus, or maybe they just moved too slow. See, we don't want to say that about our team, because we want to believe in our heart that our team did everything that they could do to win the game. But that's not often always the case. And so now we got to be able to be good sports. And a good sport says, maybe next time. I didn't win this time, but what I will do is I will prep and I will prepare and I will be ready for the next game, so that when the next game comes, I will give it my all. And maybe I believe that the next game I can win. And we got to be able to accept the fact that we didn't win, or you didn't win on this occasion. And you got to be able to walk across the field to the other winning team. And in good character, you need to be able to go across and you need to be able to shake their hands and say, good game. You played a good game. Congratulations on your win. We cannot allow our hurt and our discouragement to cause us to be sore sports, bad losers. Or as the Bible says, anger and sin not. It's one thing to be disappointed and angry about the outcome of a situation. It's another thing when we allow that anger to cause us to sin, when we allow that anger to take us into a dark place of bitterness, a dark place of hate. And what we've been seeing in the world since November is a dark place. And I'm not even talking to non-believers. I'm talking to believers that we've gotten into a ritual, and we've gotten so caught up. Guess what? We have gotten so caught up that we're looking just like the world. We sound like the world. We look like the world. We're acting like the world. And right now, if anybody look at us, they'll say and wonder, who is your father? Because right now, we're not looking like our father. We're looking like the world. And so tonight, I want to take you to, and I'm talking this to everybody. The election didn't affect me. It didn't affect me the way it affects others. I have a different viewpoint. But I'm just saying, whatever that thing is, whether it was the elections that caused you to get unraveled, whether it was a job promotion that you didn't get and you thought you should have gotten, whether it was a guest that was supposed to show up but didn't show up, whether it was your kids that didn't do what they were supposed to do, whatever that thing is that caused you some discomfort, that caused you some anger, we're not going to allow it to cause us to sin. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight, is how do we deal with disappointment? Because when we deal with disappointment, when we take anger to sin, what we're saying is, God, I don't trust you. I don't trust the ultimate plan that you have for my life. I don't trust that this big God is bigger than my small problem. That's what we tell God when we murmur and when we complain about situations and circumstances. We're saying we don't trust you. We could take it back to the children of Israel. That here he brings a savior. He brings Moses to deliver his people. And Moses come to deliver his people and take them out of slavery. Even so much so that God hardened the Pharaoh's heart. He hardened his heart. God did that. Just so that that his glory could be seen in this whole situation. And so Moses coming, he delivers the people. He brings them out of Egypt, out of slavery. He brings them through the Red Sea. And he brings them into the wilderness. And what did they do? They complained. They were angry. They became bitter. They sinned. They didn't want to follow the commandment. They didn't want to listen to Moses. And why am I bringing that up? Because we become the children of Israel in many of our life situations. We become the children of Israel because when things don't go according to plan, we get angry. We murmur. We complain. And we never look at where we came from, where God brought us from, and where we are now. Because many of us are not in the same place today that we were in yesterday. A lot of our lives have changed. We have evolved. But we still want more. We're still complaining about what we don't have instead of being excited and thankful for what we have. We all been guilty of this. And in that, the children of Israel, if you remember the story, who did they start looking like in their complaining? They started building statues and worshiping other gods. So who were they starting to look like? Were they looking like God? Did they look like the children of God? Absolutely not. Because he said in his word that his children know his voice and they follow him. If you're a child of God, we know you're a child of God because you follow God's commands. That's how you know. That's the identifying mark to you being a child of God, is that you follow his command. And the children of Israel, they no longer look like God because they begin to murmur and complain. They begin to not follow his command. And that's what we're doing. This is what you're seeing today. This is what you're seeing with what's going on in the world. That we're starting to not look like God. And we're starting to look like the world. And we're doing that because we're murmuring and complaining. I don't want him in the office. I don't want this president. He'll never be my president. And just the hate that we're spewing as children, quote, children of God, unquote. What we're saying is God, because we said, we would walk around talking about how great is our God. He's great. He's mighty. He's omnipotent. He's the creator. He is the creator of heaven and earth. Everything, the earth is the Lord and everything within it. These are the things we said all during the year. He's mighty. He's able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all we could think or ask. He's an awesome God, we sing on Sunday morning. Yet, God made a decision. And we don't even want to respect that he has a bigger plan in this decision, in the course that we're going in. Whatever that plan is, he has a plan. I heard a gentleman say, and I thought it was very profound, because he went on to describe about our bodies and how God made our bodies. They're so complex. Our bodies are complex, and he molded them, and he built our bodies in such a way that even our bodies will go into pain. And the pain that we feel in our bodies, the aches and the pain, the fever that we feel in our bodies is an indicator that something's wrong, that something's not right. And he used that as an analogy of the world or what we're dealing with right now. And he said, when you think about the U.S. and you think about the U.S. was built on Christian principles. It was built one nation under God. And there was a time where we prayed. You could pray in school, and we prayed, and we did this, and we did that. And everything had some, we had a moral compass. And as time went on, movements began, things began to change, and that moral compass began to slowly but surely fade away. And we've gotten warning after warning after warning from God. We've seen some things, and he's been warning his children. Don't do that. Ooh, stop that. And we've been ignoring the warning. Those warnings were indicators that something wasn't right. The pain we've been feeling, 9/11 was an indicator that something wasn't right. And I could go on with disasters after disasters after disasters that were probably indicators that something wasn't right. Yet, we ignored them. And we continued on the journey that we were on, and we continued to be tolerant of certain behaviors, and we've learned that what you tolerate, you accept. So if you tolerate a certain behavior, you accept it. And you can't say, well, I'm Democratic, or I'm Republican, or I'm liberal. Not as believers, because first you're a believer. And so when we start to compromise our belief system, when we no longer follow our moral compass, a compass is direction. When the compass breaks, you're in trouble. Because if you don't have some landmarks that's going to show you what's east, west, north, and south, then you're in trouble. And what's going to happen? If you were in the desert and your compass broke, what's going to happen? You're going to get lost. And when our compasses begin to break, our moral compass begin to break, we as a nation are lost. We're lost. We're no longer following the statutes of God. The nation that was built one nation under God is no longer under God, is under many gods. We've allowed other foreigners, and I say foreigners because the Bible called the women that Solomon married, he called them foreigners. They weren't of that land, but they brought their God, and they brought their belief systems, and they brought their compasses, and that's what Solomon began to follow, and that was the death of him. That was his demise. That's how he failed. And if you look at the U.S., that's what we're going through. And so now we're angry because now we have a president in the office that people are not fond of because they feel like his moral compass is gone. But what if I told you that just maybe, this was the shock that America needed? I've been told that there's three ways to change bad habits. The first is just called simple discipline, replacing bad habits with good ones. That's the best way, but we see we didn't do that. The second way is through prayer, praying to get rid of a bad habit. And after you didn't chose not to be disciplined, and after you didn't allow prayer to work, because you could pray, but you still got to work it. Faith without works is dead. So after you weren't disciplined, prayer didn't work for that bad habit, and you kept doing it, then what's the next thing? What's the next way to get rid of that bad habit? Shock. It's called shock therapy. Given an example, and I'm going to use cigarette smoking as an example, because cigarette smoking is a habit. It's an addiction. It's a bad habit. And most people who have been smoking cigarettes, especially for any period of time, they have a hard time to stop that because it's an addiction. Even after their body, after 3 days, I believe they said the body is already healed from it. The mind is still addicted, and that's what makes it difficult to stop smoking cigarettes. And I'm using cigarettes as an example because I think many people, especially if you used to be a smoker or if you're still a smoker, can relate to that, that it's difficult to try to stop smoking. And so we've heard people say that, you know, I tried to stop smoking. So the first act was discipline. I try to discipline myself to not do this thing that I know is no good for me. I know it's hurting my temple. I know it's destroying my health. It causes my teeth to yellow. It brings about a bad odor on me. I don't want to do this, but I can't stop. I have no control. So then the next phase of it after that is, well, I'm going to pray. So then the person begins to pray and hope. And I'm not saying that prayer doesn't work. Discipline works. If you have the willpower to accept discipline works. And many people have stopped habits because they were disciplined. They disciplined their bodies and said, I'm not going to do this no more. And they stopped. Then you have people that pray. They fast and pray. And because they fast and prayed and they were willing, guess what? They were delivered. But then if you didn't get it by discipline and you didn't get it by prayer, then the next thing is normally shock. And what's the shock? The shock could be simply finding out that now this cigarette that you enjoy so much is causing health issues. And generally, once people find out that something is causing a health issue, that's the shock they need that immediately would cause them to get that thing under control. I say that to say, what if what we're experiencing right now today is the shock to America to say, "Ooh, wake up, get back on track, know that I'm God. And in the end, I control everything." What if that's the case? I have a caller, I believe, that wants to ask a question, and I'm going to bring this caller in, and then I'm going to get back on track. Caller, area code 432, last 40205. Hello?
I have your attention for just a moment.
Maybe that's an accident. So anyway, moving forward. So that's not a fact, but I just want you to consider that. I just want you to consider that maybe this is the shock therapy that we need as believers to get us back on track. Who has become our God? Who do we look like? Now, I'm going to go and I'm going to take us to, because you know me, I could say all the things I want to say. I could give you a matter of my opinion. I could tell you based on my own experiences. But also, what I like to do is I bring you to the Word, because what I say, my experiences, my opinions could be helpful for some. It may not mean a hill of beans for others. So I always want to go back to the Word of God, because at the end of the day, no matter what our opinions are, no matter what our experiences are, at the end of the day, ultimately, it's the Word of God that we say we believe in, the Word of God that we stand on, the Word of God that's supposed to be our compass, our moral compass, that help us to make right decisions. It's the Word of God that builds character and integrity and accountability. So I'm going to take us to, I want to take us to 2 Corinthians. And you might want to jot this down, because I'm going to shoot out a couple of quick scriptures. And I just want to give us something. I always want to give us something to stand on, because the word is the most powerful tool that we have, because the Word is God. It's God's mind. And we want to know His Word. and we want to stand on his word, and we want to study his word. And I'm giving you word based on the scripture, NIV. But I want you, when I give you the scripture, jot it down and go back in your own time and study it. You might want to go to, you know, King James. You might want to go to the Concordance. You want to study. You want to know what these words mean. What do they mean? Pray. Ask God to give you revelation knowledge of that word so that word becomes rhema to you so that you could really understand it. Because we could do what we understand. If you don't understand instructions that I'm giving you, if I'm telling you I need you to go down to this corner, right, go down to that corner. Now I'm on the phone with you and I'm telling you, go down to that corner and make a left and then go down three blocks and at the stop sign you make another left and then you're going to go slight right and do a U-turn. That means absolutely nothing to you. If what I just told you right now, go do it. You can't. First of all, it wasn't even enough information. And oftentimes we'll take instructions from somebody and don't even understand what the instructions are because we won't ask questions. Because the question should have been to what I just said is, what street are you talking about? What's the name of the street? And for some of you, you might want to say, what's the name of the street and what city and state is it in? But oftentimes we don't listen to somebody giving us direction and we don't even understand. And we fail to ask the right question. Because the questions will lead to answers and the answers will lead to action and choices. But I can't make a choice if I don't have an answer. But I can't get an answer if I don't ask the question. And oftentimes, week after week, we sit in church, and the man or woman of God will get up, and they'll give us the word, and they'll give us instruction, and we don't understand it because we don't go home and study for ourselves. We don't go home to figure out what it is. And so now we're confused, and we're wondering why we can't accomplish. We're wondering why we're not meeting our goals. We're wondering why we're not achieving. Because we didn't understand. We didn't understand the instruction God gave. Habakkuk 2:2 tells us, write the vision, make it plain, so that those who read it can run with it. What does that mean to you when you hear that? When you hear Habakkuk 2:2, what does that mean to you? Do you know what Habakkuk 2:2 is? When your pastor, your minister is on the pulpit and he's reading scripture to you, or he shoots out a scripture. He might shoot out 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. But he's on a message, but he's shooting this out because it's a point of reference, but he's moving fast. You don't understand. Not only did you not bring your Bible to church with you, but you forgot to bring a pen and notepad. You didn't want to take notes. It just felt good. It sounds good. It sounds good. It feels good. And you leave out of church and you feel good. You got a good feeling. But then by Tuesday, you didn't get your paycheck. Now you're angry and you're upset and you're ready to fight. And you've cussed out the whole office because you didn't get your paycheck on Tuesday. And you can't go back to a point of reference because you forgot on Sundays you don't bring your Bible and you don't take note to jot down the scriptures that the pastor preached. So you can't even go back and refer to the scripture that tells you, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not into your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he shall direct your path. But we can't even, that can't be our point of reference. So we forgot to take note. We came to church unprepared. If we go to school, if we're taking a night class, if we're trying to get a degree, we make sure we bring our books, our notepad. We're ready to take notes, lecture notes. But you'll go to church and you won't take pencil and paper. You won't take your word, your sword. This is not a condemnation. I'm just saying, let's keep it real. Some of us don't. We just go to church because we're looking for. I've heard people say, I got to go to church on Sunday. I don't care what I did Saturday. I got to go to church on Sunday. That's my fuel to get me through the rest of the week. But when you go to church, you should already have some gas in your tank. You should go to church already. You should be bringing a praise with you. You should be bringing a praise with you when you walk into church. You should be excited and ready to receive the word of God in understanding. You should be ready to take notes. Because what if a scripture come forth and the pastor is ministering and then God gives you a revelation? He gives you something on the inside. And you don't have nothing to jot it down on. You don't have, and then when Tuesday comes and you have the situation, you don't know how to respond, but get angry, get upset, get mad. Because you fail to remember the scripture that told you to trust God. So we're going to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 through 4. It says, praise to the God of all comfort. Praise be to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with comfort we ourselves receive from God. Why did I go there? Because no matter what we're going through, and I'm probably bouncing around a little bit here because I got off on the tangent there. I'm back. I'm back. We were talking about what's going on in the world and how we as believers have gotten in fear. And out of fear, we're producing the spirit of anger and the spirit of bitterness and the spirit of discontent and the spirit of hate. We're so angry because of what's going on. We're so angry and fear because we don't know what's going to happen with our lives. We're so angry because they're going to take away the medical. We're angry because they're going to take away this. We're angry because they're going to put up a wall. We're so angry, and we're Christians and we're believers, and if we don't have hope and if we don't have faith, how are we going to speak hope to a hopeless world? How are we going to minister to others? If we angry and bashing the elect, how are we going to speak peace to a world that lacks peace? The person that want to go out and commit suicide, you believer, is supposed to be a light into dark. You're supposed to be a light in darkness. Your lights are dim. Every time you put up a post about something that got to do with Donald Trump and his wife and his family, that's negative. Guess what? Your light is dim. Every time somebody want to put up a post about Hillary and whatever she's going through, guess what? Your light is dim. Because that's not who we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be in the world and not of it. And so when we start looking like the world and we forget who our Father is because we're not acting like him, then our light becomes dim and we know better than the world. So the person over here that needs somebody to speak hope and encouragement to them because they're going through and they don't know who God is. They never met God. But they were hoping that you were going to introduce them to them. But because your light is dim and you didn't got caught up in the world and now you're starting to look like the world, there's nothing that you could do for that person. The harvest is great right now. If you look around, it's really great. It's a lot of people that's really scared. It's a lot of people that don't know what they're going to do. But guess what? We should know what we're going to do. We should know that God is on the throne. We should know that he meets all of our needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus, and it don't matter who's elected. We should know that, and we're supposed to be speaking that to a hopeless world so that they'll come into the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Because if they are scared and they don't know what's going to happen and they don't know what their future holds and they don't know God, but then we're supposed to come in and give them hope through Christ Jesus. We're supposed to come in and give them hope that there's a God, that there's a big God, and he's in control of all of this. So you got to trust him. And if we can't do that, then we're just, who are we? What are we? Why are we? Yes, we're human. We're spirits, housed in flesh. Yes, we're spirits housed in flesh. Yes, we're close to carnality. We could slip any moment. I could slip any moment. And the Word of God is telling us to walk in the Spirit so that we don't fulfill the lust of the flesh, so that we'll be a light among the, you know, a light to the world. And how do we do that? We do that by the Word of God. We do that by embracing the Word of God and speaking the Word of God in every situation. We can't pick and choose. We can't pick and choose. And this is what he's saying. He says in his word, we can't pick and choose. He says in his word that a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways, and to him he'll receive nothing. And I'm saying this, and I pray that the Spirit of God will just touch someone's heart who's listening tonight, because you've been struggling. This has been a challenge for you. And you're a believer, and it's been a challenge. This whole thing's been heavy for a lot of people. And what I would say to you is this. We are the church. It's not a building. We are the church. And because I'm the church, I cannot take the church off of me and go to the polling booths. I cannot take the church off of me and go seek a prostitute. I can't take the church off of me and go and abuse addiction. I'm not saying that we don't struggle, because we are spirits housed in flesh. But what I'm saying to you is that you are the church. And I believe that when we really realize that we are the church, we're going to operate a little bit differently. We are the church. We can't go around talking about somebody, making false accusations, not even willing to do our research before we speak. And even after the research, should we be speaking or should we be praying? This Christianity is not a cape. It's not a superhero cape that you could take off and lay down when you get ready to. It's a part of your DNA. When you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, it's in your DNA. And because it's in your DNA, you're supposed to look like somebody in your DNA. And if your new DNA is Christ, because you give your life over to him and you've been born again, then your new, by the blood, then your new DNA is Christ. Your new DNA is Abba Father. And we are supposed to look like him. And this is not part-time. We can't have our feet on one side of the fence and on the other side. We can't play church, because you are the church. So if you raggedy, you're a raggedy church. If I'm raggedy, I'm a raggedy church, because I am the church. If I never walk in another building, I am the church. And people are looking at me, the church. And then you hear people say, and we get offended when the world say, that's why I don't go to church. I can't stand these people at church. They hypocrites, and they do this, and they do that, and they don't have no compassion. I believe there's a God, but I can't stand the church. Well, they saying that because they done seen the church be raggedy, and we are the church. And we'll go along and say cute things like, you can't judge me. Only God could judge me. Well, guess what? God is judging us, because he's holding us accountable for what we are doing and what we're not doing. He's holding us accountable for what we say and what we don't say. He's holding us accountable because that kid, that mother, that addict, that prostitute, that person that was looking for love and looking for God in us, and we didn't do a good job eschewing it because our lights were dim. And he's saying, get right, church. Let's go home. Get right, church. And I can remember, and I'm going to speak this, getting attacked because we want to make some man our God. Well, no, I just want to give honor where honor is due. Give God honor. Give God honor. I'm not saying that you can't respect somebody. I'm not saying that you can't congratulate somebody. I'm not saying that you can't admire somebody. But when you become obsessed and you dependent on this person to change your life around, you're dependent on this person to make your life better, then that person became your God. I'm sorry. And you took God, he can't never come off the throne, but for you, you've taken him off the throne and you replaced him with an idol. And we can't do that. We can't keep living like that. We cannot keep being a raggedy church. We cannot keep being an ineffective church. We got to be men and women of our word. If we say we're going to do something, then we better do it. If we give our word, we need to keep it. I'm being challenged. I'm challenging myself that this year, this season, now, when I say yes, I mean yes, and my no will be no. If I can't do something, then I'm going to say I can't do it. Things happen. I can't say that emergency can't come up, but when it come up, communicate. Don't just put your phone on off and don't answer it. We the church. Let's start being an example. Let's stay on target with our moral compass so that other people can see. I was sharing with my 14-year-old, and we were talking about integrity and character. And I gave him the initials because I remember a friend of mine gave this to me years ago, and the initials were CIA. And my son said, well, what does CIA mean? I said, CIA is Christian in Action. Character, integrity, and accountability. Character, integrity, and accountability. Christian in action. And that's what we need to be. We need to stop talking about it and be about it. When we say we trust God, then let's trust him. And not get all bent out of shape. Ooh, Lord, thank you, Jesus. We all can relate. We all go through life crisis, and we just melt. I know I do. We melt. Things happen and we just melt. You know, and we got to remind ourselves, who do I belong to? Who do I say that I am? Who is my Heavenly Father? And then I have to remind myself that my Father owns cattle on 1,000 hills. Surely he can handle this small problem that I have. Amen. And we're going to just go. I want to go over here really quickly. I want to go to Matthew. Matthew, let's see here. I think I'm going to take us to, and if you just jot it down again, if you have a notepad, jot it down. I think these are good words that you can look at later on, and you can really get some praying that you get something from it. Okay, I'm going to go to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. And we're going to go to verse 24. Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. When you get it, you could give a virtual amen. And in Matthew chapter 6, verse 24, it tells us, no one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Now, I believe even in the term money, because you have to work, you have to pay your bills. And I don't believe that that's what this is saying, but what I'm saying is that we can't serve God in the world. You just can't do it. He's not a cape that we can remove when it's inconvenient for us. Either you believe in him or you don't. Either you're going to serve him or you won't. Either you believe in his word or you don't. And we could come up with all the excuses of the world about what books in the Bible is missing, and you know, this word didn't mean this and it meant that and all of that. I'm not saying don't study. Study the word. Study to show yourself approved. But even the word of God says the letter kills and the spirit gives life. In other words, when we're reading the word of God, it should never be about the letter. We're supposed to read the word of God with the spirit of God that lives on the inside of us. And that spirit of God that's on the inside of us, we're supposed to pray that that spirit of God is alive, that is activated. Because it's only through that spirit that we get revelation knowledge about God's word, through God's spirit. And so if you're going in and you're reading the Bible without God's spirit, it could get a little technical. But if you're going in with his spirit, why not? If I'm writing a book, and if somebody was to read my book and they didn't understand what I write, do you think that they would go to the publishing company to find out what did I mean by what I wrote? Or do you think they would come back to me and say, hey, Coach D, in chapter 3, the second paragraph, what did you mean? Because who would give a better revelation about what I meant than the person who wrote it? If I wrote it, then I'm going to be able to give you the revelation of what it means. Likewise with the word of God. He wrote it. It's his word. So if you don't understand something in his word, or you got questions about his word, or you feel like there's some contradiction in his word, don't go to somebody else. Go to him. It's his word. And pray. And ask him to give you knowledge, wisdom, revelation of his word. Again, we can't serve two masters. We can't be wishy-washy. We can't decide that one day we're gonna serve God and then the next day we're gonna serve mammon. We can't do it. That's not the way it works. And again, I know we're getting towards the end of the show, and I want to be able to open up the lines, but I want to put one more scripture out there just in case. And I spoke of it earlier, but I want to speak of it again because I feel like we need to know this, because many of us are operating in this, and then we're not seeing the glory of God in our lives. We're seeing all hell break out in our lives, and we're wondering why all hell. And I'm not saying that when hell break out in your life that it's always a punishment. I'm not saying that maybe you're not doing something right. That's not always the case, because sometimes hell break out in your life when you're doing everything right. And I believe that that's also an indicator, because the enemy is not going to rob a house that's empty. A robber don't go to a house that's empty and rob it. There's nothing in there. So I believe that sometimes we could be operating under the complete anointing of God in our lives, and we could be walking in purpose, and everything could be going great, and all of a sudden all hell will break out because the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And it's his assignment, it's his job to make sure that he keeps that purpose, that baby from being birthed in you, because he knows who that baby going to look like. He knows the DNA of that baby. And if he could kill that baby inside of you, if he could abort that baby, if he could cause you to miscarry that baby, then he in essence done his job, because he's kept you for fulfilling the purpose. So James 1, we spoke about this, James 1. And I'm just going to start at, actually I'm going to go back a little way. So I'm going to James chapter 1. And I think I'm going to take this, let's take it to 5. James chapter 1, verses 5 through 10, I'm going to read it. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. No, just some of them. All his ways. Only on Tuesdays and Thursdays. All his ways. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted. So I'm going to stop at 8. So this is telling us we can't be double-minded. When we're double-minded, we're not going to get anything, because double-minded is doubt. Double-minded is not making a commitment. And we know what double-minded is because we do it in the earth. Double-minded, you know, some of us is double-minded because we get in a relationship with one person and then we want to be in a relationship with a whole bunch of other people while we're in a relationship with this one person. That's called double-minded. And then oftentimes you don't end up with nobody because you try to play everybody. It's double-minded. Sometimes we're double-minded even in our businesses, because some of us are working a job, but our passions may be somewhere else. And so we can't give 110% to this thing because our passion is really somewhere else. And that's double-minded. And God may be telling you in this season, make some decisions, make some choices. We're not honoring God when we're double-minded. We're not honoring God because we can't serve two masters. So when we're flip-flopping, we can't serve two masters. It's either or. I want to put out there, there's a song that I love, and you could write it down when you get a chance, go on YouTube and listen to it. I like it. It's an upbeat song. The gentleman is a Christian singer, contemporary Christian, but I love the song. And the song is called No Gray. And the gentleman's name is Jonathan McReynolds. Jonathan McReynolds, and the name of the song is No Gray. Check it out. I love it. The words, what he's saying, is so true, because we all struggle. You know, we all want to be used by God, and we cry before God, Lord, please use me. Use me, Lord. I just want to be used by you. And we say that, and we love the Lord, but guess what? We want to be in the world too. And we want to do some of the things that the world is doing, because somehow we felt we're not content and we felt like we're missing out on something. So we kind of have a tendency to go back and forth and we struggle. Some of us struggle with areas in our lives that we know is not pleasing to God, but we're not disciplined. And we're praying, but maybe we're praying amiss and it's not changing it. And then we don't want to get to a point where we get shocked, where God has to embarrass us about that thing. And we know about those things. Believe me, when people get busted for that thing, those things, those thorns in the flesh, by the time they get busted, God had already been dealing with them on it. He had already been giving warnings. He had already been saying, don't do that, Denise. Don't do that, Johnny. No. But we wasn't disciplined, and we kept doing it. We wasn't really praying about it, because we're praying about it, but we're praying amiss, because the reality of it is we don't want to stop doing this thing. It feels good. I don't want to stop doing this. I mean, Lord, I know it's not pleasing to you, and I'm praying, help me, Lord. Help me not do this. But the inner part of me is saying, I don't want to stop doing this. It feels good. It tastes good. It smells good. And I want to keep doing it. And after a while, we become numb to it. We're not convicted no more. It's numb. So we could do it with ease. We're doing it with ease and pleasure. And now we're doing it often. It's a habit. It's a habit we don't want to get rid of, but we know it's wrong. And we know it's not pleasing to God. And we know it's hindering us from being all that God's called us to be. Because how can you really be all that God's called you to be when you got this shame, this guilt in the back of you? No, nobody know about it yet, but you know about it. And God know about it. And every time you go in that pulpit, every time you go this place and you begin to preach and you begin to minister to the people, but you know you got that thing. It's just between you and God right now, but you got that thing that you don't want to let go. And it's causing you to be ineffective. It's causing you to lose your power. You're shrinking behind this thing because you know it's not right. So you can't do everything you want to do. You can't go where you want to go. You know why you can't go where you want to go? Because you can't go where you want to go. God may have told you to go to this place, but you can't go to this place because this place is going to have some people there that you don't want them to see what you do. So you don't want to go to the place. God might tell you, I want you to let this person come to your home, but you don't want the person to come to your home because in order for them to come to your home, it will expose you, and you can't afford to get exposed because you got to paint this picture that everything is okay. Get off the fence. Choose a side, black or white, no gray. Choose a side. Make a decision. I call it a made-up mind. A made-up mind pleases God. A made-up mind pleases God. It's the double-minded, the lukewarm. He said in his word that people that's lukewarm, he'll spew them out his mouth. He dislikes lukewarm people, and that's the people that's on the fence, treading the fence. He said, have a made-up mind. Make up your mind and be settled with it. So, Father, we just thank you, Lord. I thank you for tonight's show. I thank you for the word that you brought forth tonight. Father God, I pray that that word was a rhema word. Lord, that it's been life-changing for many of us. Lord, that we want to have a made-up mind, that we want to serve you and you only, Lord, that we no longer want to be on the fence. Father God, that we no longer want to be gray. But, Father, we want to look like you. We want to have your DNA, Father, that when the world sees us, they see you. Father, I just thank you for each and every individual on here tonight, Father, and I just pray, Lord, that you will work mightily in their lives. Father God, that you will meet every need according to your riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Father God, I pray, Father, that those who know that they've been out of order, who know that their compass has been broken, Father God, that you will give them a new compass, Father God, new direction, new clarity. Father God, that they could do and set out to do all that you've called them to do, even in the midst of chaos, Father God, even in the midst of darkness, Father God, that they will be a bright light that will give hope to a dying world. Father, I just thank you, Lord, that your word did not fall on deaf ears, but, Father God, that it fell on good ground and that it will take root and that it will grow in us, Father, and produce good fruit. So, Father God, I just thank you right now, Lord. I thank you that you are the great I am. You are everything that we need, that we desire, that we want. I thank you, Lord, that nothing in this world can manifest, Father, without your permission. Everything has a purpose. And, Father God, allow us to trust your plan. Allow us to trust the process. Allow us, Father, to trust you in all things. So, Father, we just say thank you. We say thank you, Lord. We say thank you, Lord. We say thank you, Lord. Show yourself mightily in every situation of our lives. For those who are sick, Father God, bring forth healing. For those who are weary, Father, bring forth strength. For those who are broken, Father God, bring forth, Father God, peace and comfort. As only you can, Lord, in Jesus' name. I want to just take a moment for those that's tuned in the studio live. If there be anyone out there tonight that have a question or a comment about tonight's show, please dial 1 on your dial pad. That'll let our team know that you have a question or comment, and we'll bring you in. We always love to hear feedback from our audience. I know many of you that may have signed in later on in the show and listened in. Tonight we had a guest, and for whatever reason, whatever God's purpose was, our guest didn't make it on the show tonight. And so God had his own plan, and this is what the show started off about, is that when things don't go according to plan, will we trust him? Or will we trip? And so oftentimes we trip, and God is trying to get his people to trust him, to trust him and stand on his word and not look at what things look like. We are believers. We're supposed to be praying. We're supposed to be steadfast. We're supposed to be fasting. We're supposed to be we are supposed to be speaking things into existence. Our words are supposed to change a circumstance. And so God spoke, and you know, he spoke, and it was. He created the word, the world by his word. But when Jesus came, when the living word came, guess what? He spoke, and it was done too. He spoke healing. He spoke healing, and people were healed. But it was according to their faith. They had to believe. But he spoke healing. He spoke, you know, the multitude. The five loaves, the five fishes and the loaves of bread. You know, he spoke the wine, the water. These are things that he spoke, and they manifested. And he said when he was leaving here that we'll have more power than he had. So why are we not operating in that power? That's just a thought for tonight. I do have a caller, area code 310, last 4-4336. Welcome to Process in the Pain.
Hey, good evening. How you doing, folks?
I am doing great. How are you, my brother?
I'm fine. Just letting you know, man, I enjoyed the show. Touched me in a lot of ways, a lot of things you said. I'm just sitting here shaking my head at things you said that I can relate to, man. I don't even know how to describe it, but I just want to let you know I really enjoy, you know, the program tonight.
Well, thank you, my brother. I appreciate all your support, and thank you for tuning in on Thursday evenings to Process in the Pain. And I just pray that every word that was spoken, that God will just begin to turn those words in you, that he would begin to just set a fire in your bone, that you will say yes, that you will make a firm decision, a made-up mind for him to be able to use you as he sees fit to use you. You have an awesome ministry. You have an awesome testimony. You've been through some things, and God is saying it's time in this season. It's time for you to allow him to use you, for him to take the things that you've experienced and the things you've been through in life, and that he begin to use those as tools for these people that are out here wondering. People are looking for the answers, and he's calling us in this season, in this time, to be able to give people the answer. And the answer is God. The answer is Jesus. And he wants us to be able to tell people about the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's all it's about. It's the Great Commission. Go out in the land and tell people about the gospel, because God is ready to come back, but he got to come back to a church that's whole, a church that's without blemish. He's ready to come back, and he's waiting on us to get it right. And so, I thank you. I'm before I go on another tangent, but I thank you for tuning in and supporting Process of the Pain, brother. And just know that I'm always praying for you and your family and lifting you up. And I can't wait.
That's right. And then real quick, too, I want to thank you for coming out to my event. You know, I know you said you were sick, wasn't feeling good, but, you know, you still was able to get up, get some strength, and make it out there. And I really appreciated that. And I really, you know, was lifted by, you know, overcoming your sickness to come out to my event. So I just want to thank you about that, too, all right?
Well, you are most welcome, and thank God that that's just one of many events that you will be doing for his glory. Amen?
That's right. Amen. Thank you again, all right?
Thank you. Have a good evening. Amen.
All right, dear.
If there'll be anyone else that's listening in on tonight, if you have a question or comment for the host, please dial 1 on your dial pad. And that'll let our team know that you have a question or comment about tonight's show. I am glad that I have a bunch of made-up minds, and that there's no one wavering, and that you're not being double-minded. If you don't have any questions, well, we will go ahead and we're going to shut out for tonight. And again, I just want to thank each and every one of you for tuning in to Processing the Pain on tonight. I pray that something was said that has just been a blessing to you and some tools that you could really take and use. Please feel free to join us the first Monday of every month. We have Relentless Pursuit with Philandus Harris and Tamika Sanders. That's at 6:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, the first Monday of every month. And then every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, we have Woman to Woman with Minister LaDon and yours truly, Coach D. And this month, and the month to come on Woman to Woman is dynamic. We have some dynamic guests that's going to be coming on and speaking as our guests. And we are so excited. Next Tuesday, we have a guest. And this lady, she has been dealing with stage 4 cancer for years. When they gave her a report and she chose not to believe it. She changed her diet, her eating habits. And she's been, and she's living a, she's living life. She's living life, and she's going to be on Woman to Woman on next Tuesday at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And then the following week, we're going to talk about keeping love alive. And we have two of our family from Sacramento that's going to be, we believe we're going to be speaking on that night. And then the following week, we have, The following week after this week, or after next week, we have a young lady who is the CEO and founder of Celibacy Chronicles. And she's going to be a guest. But we got some exciting, you know, I'm not going to even keep naming people. Just tune in. I know the show is called Woman to Woman. But in this season, though the show is called Woman to Woman, it's going to be beneficial for men, too. And we're going to have some men guests come on as well. So I just tell you, tune in on Tuesday nights at 7 p.m. if you want to know some of the exciting things that's going on. And then again, on Thursday evenings at 7 p.m., you have me, Coach D. And then just continue to tune in. We thank you again for your support. And tell somebody else, if the shows are being a blessing to you, tell others and have them tune in and listen in so it could be a blessing to them as well. We thank you. We love you. And have a good evening. Know that you are loved and appreciated. If I do.